Hey, it's Brad Milkey, host of ABC's daily news podcast, Start Here. And I'm honored to say Start Here, along with several ABC audio projects, are up for Webby Awards. Voting is open to the public, and we're all really excited about these awards, but this vote closes on Thursday. So please don't wait. You can go to abcaudio.com/webbies. That's abcaudio.com/webbies, W-E-B-B-Y-S, to cast your vote for Start Here, along with other ABC news shows. We really appreciate it.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us. I'm Andrew Dimbert. Comedian Kathy Griffin is known for not pulling any punches. Her tell-it-like-it-is style defines her career, an approach she's now taking as she opens up about her private battles in this interview with Nightline co-anchor Juju Chang.
Kathy Griffin has undergone a profound transformation.
Hi, Juju.
But it wasn't easy. In fact, she says it was excruciating.
A little bit over a year ago, in June of 2020, I tried to take my life, and I made a very serious suicide attempt. To lose all my work overnight, and to be told by people in my own industry, it's over, leave the country for 5 years, you've shamed our industry, you know, on and on and on. And it definitely got to me. And so I got to the point where I kind of agreed, like, maybe it is time for me to go. And I've had a great life, and I don't think there's a next chapter for me. And what I think, though, really led to something that extreme was I had become very severely addicted to prescription pills. So I am in recovery, but I'm a drug addict.
4 years after the Trump mask photo scandal that almost destroyed her career, a stark and candid conversation about addiction, mental health, and a shocking cancer diagnosis.
I was laughing to stay alive, and what I found is I felt like if I can't make others laugh, then there's no purpose for me to live.
For decades, one of the rare few, a woman in the male-dominated world of stand-up comedy, bold, brash, unfiltered. Griffin rarely holds punches and often pushes right up to the line, if not over.
One of the things that strikes me is, you know, this note in your routine where you said, you know, Michelle Obama's great, go high if you can, I'm down in the mud.
Michelle, I love you. Take the night off, because I'm down in the mud with the pigs where I belong, rolling around.
Where I belong, yes.
Where I belong.
Yes.
Why do you belong there?
We look at what's happening, and in my case, censorship and First Amendment issues, and think, you know what, sometimes taking the high road doesn't always work.
But what is it about your background or even about your spirit that makes you want to fight dirty or be down in the mud?
Well, I think I'm a scrappy gal, and, you know, it's the way I was raised, and it's the kind of family I'm from, and I think it's what folks that watch my work kind of respond to. Kind of a tell-it-like-it-is attitude.
An attitude shaped by a childhood as colorful as it was traumatic.
I mean, Irish Catholic family, lots of, you know, alcoholism. Remember, it was a different time, right?
Sure.
So I was making mixed cocktails for my parents, you know, when I was a kid. And I didn't drink, but I knew how to make the Tom Collins with the powder mix, you know. And
but you were a teetotaler because of it.
I've never had a drink in my life. I think I just had this little voice in my head that said, don't do it. I still think that if I would have taken a drink, I think I would have become an alcoholic very quickly.
Her girlhood also scarred by exposure to violence and sexual abuse.
My late brother, the oldest in the family, was a sexual abuser, a pedophile. So that was very difficult. And my family didn't really like that I talked about it.
I have to believe that that plays into your scrappiness.
Absolutely. It also plays into the idea of wanting to be sort of a whistleblower in my comedy, you know, and say things that you're sort of, quote, not supposed to say.
Turning the things you're not supposed to say into comedy put Griffin on the map. She toured the world performing stand-up.
I've been very open about what I call my dental work. You know, I'm not going to lie to you about that. I've got staples in my head right now. But
getting off the D-list with her reality show about her life on it.
You know how you get to Carnegie Hall?
You the guy that, like,
But in 2017, many would say she crossed a line after TMZ published a photo of her holding a mask of President Trump covered in ketchup.
outrage from all sides after that video of comedian Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin in that image.
Nobody wants to see this. It wasn't funny. It didn't work.
The backlash was swift. Her tour canceled. Endorsements pulled. Friends walked away.
I think that emotionally, that was the most painful. To have so many friends that to this day haven't called. I would like to think that I would not behave that way. I think it's sad that many Americans were quiet at a time like during my photo when it probably would have been okay to kind of take a stand.
You received a lot of death threats.
Oh, I mean legit death threats. I mean, folks showed up to my husband's parents' house. They tracked my sister down when she was dying of cancer in the hospital and called her. And that was the intensity that I think I need people to know about. It's not just that I had a couple of bad days of press. It's, you know, these folks aren't playing around. They'll try to kill your family. How many new cities today?
You're announcing 11 new cities today. It's a good little run of shows.
A year after the photo went viral, we joined Kathy on part of her 2018 comeback tour, days before she'd perform at a sold-out Carnegie Hall.
I'm doing a mini press junket, so I'm going to start at The View.
Well, you'll be two segments, and
maybe not two.
Are you ready for a check? Guess what? Give us a count.
1, 2, 3, 4.
She caused an uproar and made some powerful enemies. Please welcome back the fabulous Kathy Griffin. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm just glad to be alive.
I can't believe it's been a year since this. It's a year this month that picture was released.
Right.
And we already described
it. What a year it's been.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I take the apology back. It's just me, everybody. Kathy Griffin, living legend. I'm just a person. No one cares.
Outside Radio City Music Hall.
What is this sign? All right, let's see how long till someone notices.
True to form, she held nothing back.
Get it? It's me. Take a picture. Don't be a
And there was this exchange with what appeared to be a Trump supporter.
Unplanned. Hi. Oh, I don't believe you. Oh, really? You love Trump? Let's talk about it. How much do you love Trump? Why do you want to talk? Come up to me and talk about Trump. What do you love about him? His policies? You think he's going to give you a tax cut, lady? You're a woman. Let me guess, you held your nose because he grabs and that's okay with you?
Hey, relax.
Look at this guy, start with me. She walks by, she goes, I love Trump.
I'll kick his butt.
Thank you, sir. Right. You are an angel from heaven.
Can we get a photo of you and get out
Let's
of here?
Let's do it.
Ever combative, publicly, privately, Griffin was struggling. Painful moments like this, captured by her husband for her documentary, Kathy Griffin, A Hell of a Story.
I'm so scared. Get off the plane.
It's gonna be okay. You're welcome
I'm
here.
I'm scared.
Why?
Because I don't. Nobody cares about this tumor.
We're gonna support you. We got your back.
I was really convinced that, you know, somebody was going to harm me, or there'd be all the things I had been reading. I just felt there was impending doom. I lost a ton of weight. And I don't mean to be cute, like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I keep losing weight. I meant like I wasn't even like aware of sort of not being able to keep food down because I was dealing with so many things. It was a really tough time.
After her world tour, the darkness became overwhelming. Back home in Los Angeles, her addiction to prescription pills spun out of control.
How did that happen?
You know,
The woman who never drank a drop of alcohol gets hooked on painkillers.
Isn't that a bitch? I think one of the reasons I actually wasn't acknowledging that I was a serious drug addict is because I thought, I don't even drink. Who, big deal, I take a couple pills now and again. Who doesn't? And also, my age was a big part of it. I mean, who bottoms out and tries to take their life at 59? It's almost a joke, right?
I think it's very instructive for people see how you get lulled into it. How did you get lulled into it?
I have to be honest, it really kicked into high gear when the Trump thing happened. Prior to then, I'm gonna say I was like dallying with a pill addiction in a way that wasn't good. But then after that happened, I just thought, who cares? And it's all the stories that you've heard. I mean, the first time I got speed was from some doctor on set. And he said, oh, I call this a 10 a.m. meeting. And I said, what does that mean? And he said, well, if you've got a show the night before and you're up late, but then at 10 a.m. the next day, you've got to be really on, you take this and you're all good for your 10 a.m. meeting. And it's a very Hollywood story, right? And it got out of control very rapidly.
So Bring us to the dark night when you decide, that's it, I'm checking out.
I started thinking about suicide more and more as I got into the pill addiction. And it became almost an obsessive thought. I started really convincing myself it was a good decision. I got my living revocable trust in order. I had all my ducks in a row. I wrote the note, the whole thing. And I just thought, I'll just take a bunch of pills and I will just go to sleep. And I took about 100 pills. I fell down 2 flights of stairs. And you know, I'm no spring chicken, honey, 59. I don't remember any of it. I then went back to bed. Then I looked at my body and I could see I had like lacerations and bruises and stuff. And I was like, oh, I didn't do it enough. Took a bunch more pills, fell down again, this time on like a marble floor. And then that time when I came to, even then I was like, okay, this isn't good. And I had the phone number of one of my doctors and I texted him and I just came clean via text. I said, look, I'm addicted to pills. I've taken about 100 pills. I tried to take my life. And I think all I've done is just injure the hell out of myself. Can I come in? That's when they put me on the 5150 psych hold.
What was your husband's reaction to what happened that day?
I think my husband was actually kind of heartbroken. And I have to tell you, one of the things that I remember was the doctor who helped save me in the hospital. When I was still like day one and still saying something like, well, I guess I shouldn't have done this, but you know, I really think my husband, he should find somebody who's not such a wreck. And she said in front of him, there's a lot of studies about how detrimental it is to the loved one of the person taking their life. And I could see it on my husband's face, you know? And I can act like I was saying, oh, it'll be better off for him, but it was really selfish because I know him well enough to know. It's a crushing thing to have to go through.
From there, Kathy began one of her biggest battles, recovery.
The detox was nasty. I mean, it was months. I mean, the tremors were like this, and the flop sweat, and I was so unsteady. When I would brush my teeth, my husband had to hold my hips so I wouldn't fall over. Yeah, it was crazy.
Tell me the bright side, when the clouds start to part, what's that like?
I think the thing that was really helpful was from day one, I got involved with AA. I started doing that all via Zoom. The sober clinicians would come over every single day and they would P-test me. And every day, like my goal was to get, you know, they have the multicolored bars and my goal was to like test clean.
Kathy says she's been sober for over a year, still focused on making people laugh, but focusing on herself now too.
Do you feel like this brush with death has changed that for you?
I do feel it's changed it, and I always will get the most pleasure in the world from making people laugh and entertaining people. By the way, I get as much joy making like my girls in my AA meeting crack up. They think I'm a riot, by the way. But I think I am learning balance, and it's all about how much should you put out and work. And then when should you pull back? Because in my case, I have this like nice simple edict, which is, will it get in the way of my recovery or not?
When we come back, the shocking diagnosis.
The doctor said, we picked up a mass on your lung.
Kathy, in the fight of her life, again.
Trust me, the irony is not lost on me that a little over a year ago, all I wanted to do was die, and now all I want to do is live.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Nightline, Kathy Griffin continues. Here again, Juju Chang.
Kathy Griffin says it's been roughly a year since she kicked her addiction to prescription pills. Ironically, sobriety may have saved her life in more ways than one. It helped her discover a terrifying diagnosis.
There's no more Oxy, there's no more Vicodin. And so I was like, do I have arthritis? My joints are hurting. And so I went and I had a bunch of tests. And then the doctor said, we picked up a mass on your lung. Then they did a needle biopsy. I just found out that it's cancer, lung cancer, though I've never smoked. I like to be the exception to the rule.
Exactly. Oh my God.
I'm special.
But how did that hit you?
I was definitely in shock. I'm still a little bit in shock, not denial, but I still like, once a day, I'll just turn to like nobody next to me and go, can you believe this? Is this a bitch or what? But immediately I just thought about, you know, the program and my friends in the program. And so there's a big, you know, one day at a time. So before you jump to, oh my God, it's over, you're gonna croak tomorrow, just listen to what the doctor says. So it's stage one, it's nowhere else in my body. So I need to focus on that.
That's really good.
Trust me, the irony is not lost on me that a little over a year ago, all I wanted to do was die, and now all I want to do is live.
Last month, Griffin had half her lung surgically removed, and she's taking it all with her finely tuned sense of humor.
Can I tell you something? When you're a comic, the doctors all want to like be funny. So one of the doctors, because I was like, how does this work? And he's like, and I love when they try material on me.
Right,
like,
right,
it
right.
Hasn't been happening to me for 40 freaking years. And he's like, well, you know, the lung is actually a couple of balloons. And so we basically just deflate the lower balloon, remove it. It's kind of like taking out a used condom. You can use that. And I'm like, okay. Why don't you do the surgery and I'll do the jokes?
Let's stay in our lane.
Thank you, doctor.
Doctor.
That early detection meant no chemo, no radiation. And Griffin is optimistic that she'll survive this setback too, as she has throughout her life, just without the pills.
So what does the next chapter look like post-surgery for you?
You know, the beauty is I like don't worry about that as much anymore, which is, by the way, an exercise. It's work. But my whole life has been, especially when you're a touring artist, you know, you don't plan a tour a week in advance. You plan it months or years in advance. What I'm learning is, you know, not to sound cocky, but I think at this stage of the game, I think people know who I am. And I think it's okay for me to go, you know what, I'm gonna see what comes in. I'm not gonna chase it like I used to.
That sounds remarkably healthy.
Very zen, right? Who am I?
Who are you?
Thank you. I think I'm a survivor is what I think, whether I like it or not, I think I'm a resilient survivor.
Why is it so important to you to share this part of your story with the world?
Because I'm so grateful when I see anybody talking about these topics. I mean, we're talking, you know, cancellation, suicide attempt, addiction and recovery, and cancer. And you know, I've been around a long time, and look, trust me, I'll get a couple of calls from folks saying you shouldn't have done that, or people are gonna be afraid to hire you, but nothing compared to if I wasn't able to have this conversation. This stuff is real, and you know, I've built my career on the back of being brutally honest and hopefully being funny and entertaining, and sometimes it's not about being funny, it's just about saying something that I know I appreciate when I see other folks talking about this stuff, so I thought, well, I don't think I need to hide it.
We'll have an update on Kathy in a moment, but first, if you're struggling with thoughts of suicide or worried about a friend or loved one, help is available. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK for free, confidential, emotional support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Even if it feels like it, you're not alone. Kathy has spent the past month recovering from lung cancer surgery, and we are told that she is now 100% cancer-free. Her team says that she's been overwhelmed by all the well wishes from her fans and friends, and she can't wait to get back to performing.
That's Nightline. See you right back here tomorrow at the same time. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.